Mark chapter 16, if you could mark that, and we will be there in just a few minutes. But also, if you'd find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at both of those passages this morning. Mark chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, we're a little bit excited this morning. Somebody came to me and said, the parking lot's full. And that's exciting. And, I doubt that every space is taken. There's probably a few left out there. So come back next week and bring somebody else, and we'll really fill up the parking lot. They also wanted you to know that there's a gate that opens onto Michigan back here that they forgot to open at this morning. And so when you leave, it's open, so you can go out that direction as well, as there's two drives that actually go out on Michigan this morning to cut down a little bit on the congestion. But we're excited that you're here with us today. You're visiting with us, whether you're visiting with family, whether you're visiting from the neighborhood. We've had several visitors here recently that have just moved into the area, and we're excited to have you here with us today. We are even more excited about Jesus Christ and about our risen Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is where we'll start this morning. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 15 just a moment. That verse is part of what some of us call the Romans Road. Romans Road is a series of verses in the book of Romans that can be used to plainly show someone the way of salvation. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:10, none are righteous, no, not one, not even me, not even you. We're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all facing death, not only physical death, but spiritual death and separation from God for all eternity because of our sin. But it says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't demand that we rise up to him. God condescended down to us. And he died for us. Even while we were yet sinners and enemies, he died for us that he might make a way that we might be forgiven and brought back together, that we might be pardoned, and that we might receive eternal life that only comes from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. And how do we receive that eternal life that is to be had through Jesus Christ? How do we receive that gift? Through faith. Through faith. And in Romans 10:9, this is one of the last verses that we might use in the Romans Road. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me read that again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We serve a what? A risen Savior. And if you are to be saved this day or any day, you must believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You must believe that he died on that cross for your sins to pay the price. And you must be willing by faith to receive him as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. Today we are reminded, as we should be every Sunday, and for that matter every day for the child of God, that we serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is his name. He is that Savior Even his very name means Jehovah is salvation. For he came to save his people from their what? From their sins. And he did so while hanging on a cross, from whence he cried, "It is finished. It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. What was finished? The ransom price was paid as Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of mankind. As God the Father poured out his wrath upon his only Son, sinless Son on the cross of Calvary, to pay the sin price that was not his, but that was mine. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, sinners, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ paid my price, that I might be saved. And when the price was paid, when his blood was shed, when he had suffered it all, he cried, "It is finished." But it is the resurrection that assures us that the price indeed was paid by the sinless Son of God. The sinless Son of God who rose from the dead and is able therefore to save and to keep and one day resurrect all those who put their faith and trust in him. And so the good news of the gospel is, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 15, not just incomplete without the resurrection, but wholly without meaning without the resurrection. For what can a dead, lifeless Jesus do for you? What assurance can you have of eternal life if the source of that life is still dead in a grave? The answer is you cannot have assurance if Jesus is still dead in a grave. But he isn't. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me who come to him by faith. Since Jesus did rise from the grave, we can have full assurance in the defeat of death and hell and in the resurrection and glorification of every born again believer. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 53, verse 53. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The grave could not hold Jesus, and it cannot hold us who know Christ is Savior. We have a risen, victorious Lord who offers victory to all those who know him as Savior and Lord. We will not leave the resurrection out of our gospel message today. Just as Mark chose plainly not to leave the resurrection out of his gospel as we read today. Mark that in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come back here to end in just a few minutes. But if you would, turn to me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we'll pick up with Mark's record of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 1. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him," that would be Jesus. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were scared. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was first risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that they had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, or the rest of them, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, or supper, and upbraided them, scolded them, and with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful day. And what a privilege it is to be able to come here and exalt the name of Jesus and worship our risen Lord. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins and paying the price which was ours to pay, for forgiving us, giving to us eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have preserved that we might read of it today. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you have given to your children, that we might not only know it from your word, but know it from inside of our heart, that we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, we pray as we finish today, we pray, Lord, that you would be exalted, that we might be drawn to you. And we pray, Lord, if there's one here today that has yet to receive you, that maybe today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we read through Mark chapter 16, I just want to point out a few things this morning. We have the visit of the three women to the tomb. They are mentioned here. They are also mentioned previously in Mark chapter 15 in verse 40. It says there in verse 40 of chapter 15, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, of Joseph, and Salome. So these three ladies had not just showed up at the tomb on the day of his resurrection, but they had also been there watching as he was crucified, just a couple days before, on the cross of Calvary. Who are these ladies? Well, Mary Magdalene seems to be sort of the leader of the group. She may have been one more outspoken than some of the others. She is often listed first, and so she seems maybe to be sort of the leader. She, as it mentions in verse 9 of chapter 16, had been possessed of demons that Jesus had cast out. So what gratitude indeed she had for her Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he had already done for her, that she followed him faithfully and served him with all of her heart. Along with her here, we have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. This would seem to be the mother of James, the son of Alphaeus, or James the Less, one of the 12 disciples. And then we have Salome, who is the wife of Zebedee and the mother of the apostles James, the brothers, John and James, or James and John. These are the three that are mentioned as observing as Jesus was crucified. And the same three that showed up on Sunday morning with spices to anoint the body. Now, what about Mary, the mother of Jesus? She's not mentioned here in Mark as being part of this group, at least not by name. But in the book of John, we are told that she also was there, even at the foot of Jesus' cross, as he died as well. So she was there also. These ladies were bringing spices, sweet spices, strong, sweet, beautiful spices, perfumes, to anoint the body of Jesus. Normally, they would have done it as he was being buried. But remember, they hurried to get Jesus' body down off the cross and into the tomb before Sabbath started at 6 o'clock. And so as they were taking the body down, there wasn't the time to anoint the body of Jesus Christ as they desired to do. So when the Sabbath was over at 6 o'clock on Saturday, they prepared the spices, and on Sunday morning, early in the morning, they brought them to anoint the body of Christ. The women wondered as they approached the tomb what they were going to do with the stone when they got there, because they had been watching as Jesus was buried, and they realized that there was this terrible huge stone that had been rolled in place of the door in front of the cave where Jesus was buried. And they thought, well, I hope we can get the stone rolled away, or there's somebody there to help us. But as they approached, in verse 4 of chapter 16, and they looked around the front of the tomb, what did they see? They saw that the stone was what? The stone was already rolled away. They didn't have to do it. Well, that must have brought a little bit of relief. You know, they brought all these spices to anoint the body. And when they came around, they saw the stone was rolled away. And so that issue was mute. And so they took their spices and they entered, probably maybe had to bend down a little bit to get in the carved opening of the tomb. I've been in a tomb in Jerusalem that is similar. Has an opening, had to duck down a little bit to get through. Over on the right side, they had carved a slab-like table in the side of the tomb. There, they would lay the body of the one who had died. They would seal the tomb. And then after several weeks or months had passed, they would go back in after the body had deteriorated. They didn't mummify them at that time. And all that would be left were the bones. And they would take the bones and they would take them off the shelf and they would put them in a container-like place underneath the shelf. And that's where the bones went. It was a family burial site. And so when somebody died, they'd put the body in there. After the body deteriorated, take the bones off the shelf, put it underneath, and then when somebody else died, they would put their body in there. So they went through the opening, they went to the side where the body should have been, and guess what? Guess what? The body wasn't there. Instead of finding a body, they found an angel. A young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were scared. Would you have been scared? Yeah, probably so. I know I would have been scared. Go around the corner, look in the tomb, expect to see a body. Instead, you see a gleaming white angel sitting there. They were startled. The angel said unto them, the angel told them that Jesus, whom they were seeking, who had been crucified and died, is risen and no longer there. They even pointed to the place right there where the body should be, and all that was left were the wrappings that the body had been wrapped in, laid neatly on the table to the side. For Jesus Christ's body was no longer in the tomb. Why? Because Jesus Christ had risen just as he had said he would. The Romans wanted to make sure that nobody stole the body. That's why there was such a large rock in front of the door. And that is why there was even a Roman guard. Roman guard doesn't mean one guard, it means several guards that had been placed there. We read in other Gospels that when there was an earthquake and the angel rolled the stone away, that the guards were paralyzed, literally paralyzed, with fear. Jesus Christ had risen. The angel did not roll the stone away, I don't believe, so Jesus could get out. For even as Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, sometimes he didn't come through the door because he is God. But he did have a body. He ate. He drank. He said, "Touch my hands and feel the scars and the one in my side." But the stone was rolled away so men could see that Jesus was what? Was risen from the dead. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus says, "For as Jonas," or that is Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." In Matthew 16:21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be what? Raised again on the third day." Matthew 17:22 and 23, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him. And the third day he shall be what?
Raised again."
Raised again. "And they were exceeding sorry." Why were they exceeding sorry? Because they weren't listening. When he got to the he'll die part, they didn't get the what? The rise in the third day part. Matthew chapter 20, 18 and 19, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Jesus also said that this temple would be destroyed in 3 days, and in 3 days it would rise again. He was condemned as though he was speaking about the building of the temple in Jerusalem. He was speaking of himself. Jesus Christ made it abundantly clear to those who followed him that he would die on the cross. For that is the reason he came. Because if there was no death to pay for the price of our sins, we would still be under the condemnation of them and unable to free ourselves from it. Jesus Christ would have no subjects to enter into his kingdom if he had not first died to pay the price for your sins and mine. He came to die. And then, as he said clearly, and stated numerous times, to rise again from the dead. And as the ladies entered the tomb that morning, that is exactly what they saw. They saw no one but the angel. They did not see the body of Jesus. His body was not taken. His body was not stolen. He had risen again from the dead. The angel further explained that Christ was heading before them into Galilee, that's northern Israel, where he would appear before his disciples. The angel was telling the ladies, yes, he has risen from the dead, his body is not here, but you don't have to take what? You don't have to take my word for it, because in a little while, you and the disciples are all going to see who? Jesus yourselves. So you don't just have to take my word for it, you will see him yourself, risen from the dead. The women did not immediately tell anyone what they had seen and heard, but they went straightway to tell the disciples, resulting in a visit to the tomb from Peter and John, who did not immediately believe, as is pointed out in the scripture passage here. As Mary Magdalene departed from the tomb, she ran into the gardener. It was a garden tomb. There was a garden nearby. And as she was leaving, she ran into a man that she assumed to be the gardener. In John chapter 20, it tells us of Mary's encounter with the gardener. I'm going to take just a moment to read that to you. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She ran into Jesus and she thought that he was the what? The gardener. But he wasn't. He is the risen Savior. He then appeared to two disciples on the road. The road to a little town in Israel called Emmaus. We read of that encounter in Luke chapter 24. We don't have time to read it this morning. There's a painting in the foyer out in the lobby out there. I found in a Christian bookstore that was going out of business. And I usually don't bother spending money on paintings. But that painting back in the lobby is called The Road to Emmaus. And it is a painting of Jesus talking to these two disciples as they walked along the road from the tomb. As he expounded to them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament scriptures, about himself, about his coming, his death, and his resurrection, and his exaltation. For a while, they didn't know who they were talking to either. But Jesus opened their eyes that they might know, that they might see him. But he also opened their hearts and their understanding by the word of God, that they might truly see him as the Messiah, the risen Savior. Then he would appear before the disciples also. At first, some of them didn't believe until they saw him for themselves. Jesus said to Thomas, Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We are them, because we who have come to Christ must believe by faith. By faith. That he is risen from the dead. One day I will see him. But today I see him with eyes of faith. Today I know him because he lives inside of my heart because He has changed my life. Yes, Jesus is risen from the dead, body and all. But there was no body to be found in the tomb that day, only grave clothes left behind. When I came to Jesus at the age of 9 years old, and I put my faith in Him, I left my grave clothes, so to speak, behind. And I put on the new garments of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I was clothed in His righteousness as He took upon Himself my sin on Calvary's cross. And He can do that because He is a risen Savior. And yes, this same Jesus who is alive and well today offers salvation to you also. Pardon for sin, eternal life to all those who repent and place their hope and trust in Him. But you must believe. For without faith, there is no salvation. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is alive, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to finish this morning back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he concludes his letter with the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, here's what the gospel is, as the Apostle Paul declares it plainly in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I do declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that He was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, that is the writing of this letter, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. What is the gospel? The gospel is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, came and He died on a cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. He suffered on that cross for me. He was buried in a tomb. And He rose again from the dead. He ascended up to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, where He invites you today to come to Him by faith, where He offers you today eternal life and pardon and forgiveness for all of your sins if you will receive Him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you dare to put your trust in this risen Son of God and Savior of mankind today, or will you choose to walk away? Many in Jesus' day walked away. I pray today that won't be you. The invitation you hear today will not be there forever. You could meet God before this day is out. What then will you say? Will you heed the call before it is too late? This same Jesus is coming again. He will either come as your Savior or He will come as your judge. Which will it be? That all depends on you. He did the work. He paid the price. Would you today receive the gift? Would you be willing to put your faith in Christ before it is too late? I pray you would. And as we give this hymn of invitation in just a moment, I beg you, if you've never trusted Him. Please receive Him today. Come as we sing. I'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved and know it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this incredible privilege to preach Your Word, to proclaim the Gospel. And Lord, we pray if there be one here today whose heart You are working on, to draw them to Yourself that they might be saved. I pray that they wouldn't put it off till tomorrow or next week or next year, but that they might do it today. Lord, that they might receive Your gift of salvation, forgiveness for all their sins. Lord, thank You for what You did for us. Lord, thank You for saving my soul. And thank You, Lord, for the privilege of sharing it, that others may know You also. In Jesus' name we do pray.